Blog Talk Radio. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Shine, you know how I feel. Send out the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Now, peace, family, peace and love. Okay, I don't know what happened at the last part of that song, but that wasn't me. In any event, I had to play the illustrious and incomparable Nina Simone, Feeling Good. It's one of my favorite summertime songs, and even though, you know, we're in August and we got like a little more than a month left to official summer, where we live, we are starting to feel the chill at night. It's starting to come. But the daytime is beautiful, sunny, and warm, and just, you know, trying to hold on to that as much as possible. But welcome, welcome, welcome to the 98th episode of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. What? Yeah, episode 98. Y'all wait till we get to 100. But I hope everyone is feeling wonderful. I hope that you're enjoying the most and you're getting the most out of your summertime. My brothers and sisters in parts of South Africa and Australia, I hope that you're enjoying the end of your winter time. But nonetheless, you know, let's rejoice and give thanks. We woke up today, we opened our eyes, we put our feet on the floor, we made magic happen, and I'm just always thankful and grateful. So, yeah, episode 98. Happy birthday to all the Leos. I know we're getting ready to go into Virgo season, but Leos, y'all are holding on, so happy birthday to all the Leos. And just, you know, let's celebrate life, y'all. The older I get, the more I feel we need to celebrate our lives, okay? Time is running, and, you know, you don't know when your number is up. So I say let's celebrate every moment of every day. Let's be loving. Let's be kind. Let's just take care of each other. And let's always give thanks. Peace, Sister Dawn. How are you, honey? Yes, I know that's right. Giving thanks. We've got to give thanks. And I want to also say hey to Sister Nay, Sister Carla, Sister Laura, Barbara and Chris, you know, my beautiful, faithful listeners. I know there's many more of you, but some of you, I don't know who you are. But I just want to give thanks that I continue to have this platform to bring forth very serious and pertinent information that the family really needs and you more than likely might not get on other news sources, okay? So, starting with tonight's top story, of course, I've been following, even though, yes, I've been away and been enjoying summer, and Hubby Lish and I have been bringing beautiful music to the masses. You know, we just did a beautiful music festival at Mad Apple's restaurant in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. It was a beautiful, vanglorious day. I mean, the sun was shining. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It wasn't too hot. It might have been like about 81. It was really beautiful, and everybody came out, supported all the vendors. Vendors sold out of stuff, okay? We had some vendors sell out of stuff. The restaurant sold out of food. It was a beautiful event, and we wish to make it an annual event, so please stay tuned for next year. The event is called The Gathering, and we get together, and we celebrate each other, and we also promote other Black businesses. So if you want to vend, you got to hit me up. It's only $50 to vend. It's very inexpensive. even though we didn't charge this year because this was the first year, but we're looking forward to doing some wonderful events. We're also doing an event in Atlantic City on the 27th of August called Water Meets the Sand. It's going to be a dope headphone party on the beach at New Jersey Avenue and the beach in Atlantic City. Y'all need to come on out, get your groove on in the sand, you know, touch your toes in the sand and the ocean, and just enjoy the rest of summer, okay? Because we know up here in the north, summer kind of goes quickly, right? We're not in the south, so summer, we try to hold on to it and make the most of it. So that's one of our closing summer events that's going to be on the 27th of August at New Jersey Avenue in Atlantic City. Beautiful outdoor event, all right? We did it already. We did it for Juneteenth. It was awesome. Everybody had a blast, and we're going to do it one more time. So, you know, music is my life, and music heals our soul, and I am blessed to be married to one of the best DJs I have ever heard in my life, DJ Pitch Control. You know, sometimes we make jokes and say he's the number one DJ that the other DJs love to hate because he makes them take their DJ pills when they're going to spin, if they're going to spin near him, and a lot of them get, you know, feel threatened, which is funny. So, you know, he's going to bring it. I'm going to bring it. We also have special guest DJ Sharif from New Jersey banging. He actually closed us out this past Saturday at the gathering. It was beautiful. He has a very eclectic sound, and it was really great. We also have DJ A-Plane, who's going to be coming up from D.C. He's going to be rocking at the beach party. So, you know, it's not just us. You know, we like to put other really good, dope DJs on. And not necessarily the ones that everybody's listening to. No offense to any of them, because I've even cut records with these people. But at the same time, there are other DJs for the world to enjoy. And the house music community is worldwide. You know, we go hard. We have a great time. When we come out, it's always no drama. You know, lots of peace and love, great music, and some serious sweating, okay? So make sure you bring a little rag or a little bandana with you to soak up that sweat. Because we're going to go in, all right? Now, as I'm going into this first story tonight, I know you all have been following all of the mayhem and the craziness in the news, and we know all of the craziness going on with Donald J. Trump and friends. I'll just put that there. But it's interesting because he actually confirmed that he will rule like a dictator in his second term. He said this in his first speech in Washington, D.C. in a long time. It was just the other day. And I really believe he needs some serious psychotherapy. We all know he's a narcissist. We all know he's not the brightest. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Just because you have money does not mean that you're smart. Okay? He inherited a lot of money, and you all know when he went bankrupt several times, his daddy bailed him out and gave him millions of dollars. Okay? So because he knows how to be this loud, boisterous, egomaniac, okay, he's got a few people under his spell, but I do know that that is not the majority of this country, especially at this point. And I think that the Republican Party is starting to scramble, even though they're trying to act like they have solidarity. But in all honesty, this January 6th committee information, this new information on how the FBI had to acquire a warrant by a federal judge to go and retrieve extra material that was taken from the White House to his house in Mar-a-Lago. Now, I'm going to just say a quick sidebar real quick. You know the man doesn't make any sense if he has a house named Mar-a-Lago. First of all, maybe he meant Mar-a-Largo, L-A-R-G-O, which means really large and really big in Spanish because he started out with Mar. Mar means ocean. So basically he's saying ocean at Lago, but he's not saying ocean at large. Doesn't make sense to call your estate that anyway. All I'm saying is that you know the man is not the sharpest knife in the drawer, people. Something is not right. And the fact that he has all these people under his spell is a little unsettling, but I'm going to get into that. In any event, his hot seat is getting hotter, okay? And he's starting to scramble and get a little nervous, which is good. He needs to. He has spun so many lies and rhetoric. It's all coming back to him and is about to bite him in his big behind. And I think that he knows this. So he's just going to turn up the lies, turn up the drama, you know, the whole nine. And what's interesting is that now he's saying that the FBI confiscated his passport and so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand that if you are a passport holder like myself, you don't own your passport. Your passport is truly property of the federal government. So if they decided to take it, who knows if it's even valid, but or if it hasn't expired. But if they took it, I'm sure they had great reason. And I don't think it's because they think he's a flight risk per se, okay? Now, the other thing is that he was very, very careless with these documents and other documents throughout his presidency. His staff even exclaimed about how reckless he was with classified documents. And so the fact that he took it upon himself, which no other president in American history has ever done, including Richard Nixon, he took it upon himself to confiscate / steal these classified documents. Now, they weren't declassified, okay? And yes, the president does have the power to declassify documents, but he does not have the power to take them, declassified or not. So this is a serious crime. This is a serious issue. I truly pray that between this, the January 6th committee, the trial that he's got to deal with in Georgia, okay, the other case he has in New York City, I really hope that these things will, how should I say, pound those nails into that coffin, okay? Seriously, because he is out of control. Not that he was ever really in control, because we all know he's a farce and a phony, but documents that were supposed to be rendered over to the National Archives, that's a very serious matter. And we are watching as individuals surrounding him are not only going to the mat for him, but they too are in serious trouble. The criminality that surrounds Rudolph Giuliani is amazing, okay? You got a lot of people who, you know, wanted to just have their way, say their lies, spread the big lie that, you know, that the election was stolen and all this other kind of stuff. People, please, and pass this on to your neighbor. He did not win. He lost, period. Just like Hillary Clinton lost and everybody thought she was going to win. All right, same thing. Can't you just take a loss? You think that because you get a few hundred crazy people at your rallies and people come to your convention and what have you, and then some people just pay money to his campaign because he's got dirt on them and they don't want that dirt to come out. So his allegiances are not necessarily righteous. So here we go. and watching everybody crumble one by one, okay? And even with regard to these classified documents, it has been said that he would even rip documents up and throw them in the trash, only for his aides to go and rush to retrieve them from the trash and try to tape them back together again because what he was doing was illegal. Honey. Okay. And he always had a very cavalier attitude about the documents, any documents or whatever. He failed to follow protocol like any other president. All the other presidents followed protocol with regard to classified and even declassified documents. He did not do this at all. Again, you know, Boo-Boo does not know the law. He also doesn't care about the law. For someone who has a million lawyers who he tries so hard to make sure they keep him out of jail, they wind up going to jail their damn self, which is a hint and a half for your behind about just how sinister and ridiculous this man is. Lord, he's got to be stopped. He has to be stopped. This is ridiculous. This is not 2018 when, you know, people are just, you know, dealing with what he's saying and the various rhetoric and what have you. This is not that. This is 2022, baby, and the hammer is coming down. And these judges do not care, okay, because the judges are beholding to the law. We have that here in this country. We have a constitution. We have laws. We have articles. We have all these different things to try to keep individuals in line. So just because he's a former president who happens to be a millionaire does not mean he cannot be either found guilty or even do some time, which would be great. I would love for there to be a big fat orange jumpsuit to match that big orange face. Oh, that would be fantastic. That would be poetic justice, baby. Honey, listen. Okay, so he's claiming now that he declassified these documents, and so it's no big deal. Mind you, they handed over 15 boxes of documents to the DOJ several months ago, right? But the National Archives individuals realized that some things were missing. And so that's why the FBI, under the direction of the Department of Justice and the general attorney of the country, Merrick Garland, okay, they went and they got a warrant from a federal judge that said, yeah, go get the documents. It's not a witch hunt. Maybe actually it is a witch hunt because we're dealing with a real witch here. Either way, he's wrong. Either way, people try to cover up things for him, they're wrong. And everyone is facing their drama. So these particular documents, if they were in the hands of another nation, especially a nation that does not like America, i.e. Russia, China, North Korea, you know, even Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, let's sing a song, it would be very dangerous to our national security. It'd be a serious breach, and it could be potentially dangerous for these documents to fall into the hands of an enemy. And don't think America does not have enemies. Yes, we do. So him being so cavalier and just not, you know, treating them with the regard and respect necessary, you know, he has endangered us in some ways because he's flagrant in his behavior towards individuals like Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un, Vladimir Putin, you know, various individuals. I think President Xi, he's just been out off the chain. Because all he respects is, like, powerful, violent leaders. It's interesting. In his eyes, he looks at Merrick Garland as if Merrick Garland is weak. Merrick Garland is not weak. He may be a very mild-stated man. However, he knows jurisprudence. He knows the law. And he knows that Donald Trump has broke the law. He's broken the law. So here we go. And so he's, you know, Trump is trying to spin it like the Democrats are after him, da-da-da-da-da, this, that, and the other. Mind you, Christopher Wray who was the head of the FBI, was appointed by Donald Trump. Okay? So who's really in on what? Don't forget, Donald Trump fired James Comey as the head of the FBI and installed Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray is the head of the FBI. Where's that witch hunt? I'm not hearing about that one. I'm hearing about other stuff that really doesn't have relevance to this matter, for real. Like, we're just listening to a lot of spin, conjecture, lies, and straight up panicking. So now the DOJ just subpoenaed video footage of Mar-a-Lago for the past 60 days. It's over a 60-day period. And I really, really hope that they nail his behind. Because he's the one that took these documents and put them in a locked room in Mar-a-Lago. Also, please realize, his attorney was present. Several of his attorneys were present when the FBI came, rang the bell, provided the warrant, came in, and gained access to this room. So it's interesting how immediately you had these little pundits, fast puppets, talk about how, oh, they might have planted something. When was the last time that you've ever heard that the FBI planted anything on anyone, maybe aside from my brother, but when's the last time you've ever heard that? We don't really hear about the FBI planting things on people. We know the CIA was very interesting during the times of MLK, of course, and Malcolm X and different civil rights leaders. We do know that about the CIA. But the FBI is a little bit different. And I don't remember hearing about any cases where the FBI has planted material on individuals and they then suffered, you know, the long arm of the law as a result of this. So they just keep spinning stuff. They're spinning so much they're about to make themselves nauseous. Seriously. You know, and the sad part is, again, this particular individual is so conceited and obnoxiously narcissistic, it's absolutely insane. You know, he has a spell on his followers, which is really deep to me. Like, between the absurdity of the Republican Party trying to defend him and his lies and his twisted followers, they're making a huge mountain of crap out of a molehill of nonsense. Seriously. The man that went into the FBI headquarters in Ohio, he must have had a death wish. Okay? When I heard about that, I said, okay, well, that's got to be the dumbest thing anyone could ever do. Okay? You're going to go to the FBI headquarters and you're armed with an AR-15 and a nail gun? I'm trying to understand where the nail gun came in. Real talk, fam. I was like, a nail gun? I'm trying to really wrap my head around that one. Was he planning to do some construction and then kill the agents? Like, stupidity is beginning to run rampant. What did he actually think he was going to accomplish? And he's dead now. So much for that. Okay, and then some of his other trolls, Trump's other trolls, are calling for civil war. They actually have trolled the social media accounts of FBI family members. They're trying to threaten people. And again, I said they're calling for civil war, a war they will not win. I don't know what time warp these people are in. It's frightening. Because when you call for violence to be done to federal agents and their family members, all because your yellow-haired, orange-faced fool didn't win. And it looks like, oh, he's being persecuted. This is political persecution. No, honey, this is what happens when your dumbass breaks the law. Period. I mean, when I heard them talking about the Gestapo and how they mentioned that several times on Fox and Friends, and I'm like, y'all are out of your mind. As if we don't know the FBI will come and see you if you've done something very wrong. We know this. This has happened since the beginning of the FBI. Why all of a sudden, because it's happening to Donald Trump, it's something terrible, it should be stopped, we need to defund the FBI? What? They all have had their doors knocked on. Michael Cohen, Roger Stone, Papadopoulos. Like, there's more than I can count at this point. All right? And Giuliani is in hot, hot water. It's boiling slowly, so he's not popping out just yet, okay? He might sit up in there and boil for all we know, because he is scheduled to appear before a special grand jury in Georgia, okay? He's in a lot of trouble regarding the move to pressure Georgia state officials to state that Trump had won the election and, you know, to just say that and give them extra votes. He was pressuring them, okay? So it ain't cute. All right? It really does not look good for him. It doesn't. No, it doesn't. And they don't care how old you are. Y'all better know that. All right? The district attorney in Georgia may actually seek RICO charges against him. RICO stands for Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. Very unattractive. Okay? On August 9th, a judge ruled that Giuliani cannot be excused from traveling to Georgia due to health concerns. His lawyer tried to state that his health wasn't well and that he wouldn't be able to fly to Georgia, but it did not work. The judge stated that, well, he could take a bus. He's been riding on that big bus all over the place anyway, so he could take a bus. He was like, he could take an Uber to court. I fell out. All right? Also, another federal judge has stated that Senator Lindsey Graham must also testify in the Fulton County, Georgia court with regard to the big lie. And Graham had attempted to defy his request and appeal it, but he lost his appeal, and the judge says that he must testify. I hope he fries too. The list is getting long, okay? The list is getting long. And y'all know we got primary elections coming up tomorrow in Wyoming and Alaska, and people are hoping that Liz Cheney will win in Wyoming and that, what's her name? Is it McCaskill, I think, in Alaska, that she'll win and she'll beat out Sarah Palin. Yeah, Sarah Palin is running again. She's been on Fox and Friends a lot. And I'm just like, I wish Fox could go away. I wish Fox News could just end, because I feel that they help to seed and promote very, very bad information. I'll just put it that way. Like, they get everybody riled up on lies, and I don't think that's cool. There's a problem with that, because these people are drinking the Kool-Aid, swimming in it now, doing the backstroke, and they can't see that they're wrong. That's sad. They can't see that they're wrong. And like I said, they get the public riled up. They get these little wanting Jim Crow to come back, crazy, wishing we could probably go back to the times of slavery individuals. And they get them all riled up and excited, i.e. January 6th. And people are going to jail. Like, it's not a laughing matter. It's nothing light. It's nothing to be taken lightly. And everybody's going to jail except for the orange class clown. So I'm hoping that justice will prevail and that he will suffer, not just financially, but possibly even with his own personal freedom. It has to end. This madness has to end. And it has to end because other individuals have now become emboldened by this rhetoric and this individual. Recently, and I got this from one of my folks, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida stated that he will move to change the narrative around slavery in this country by teaching that slavery wasn't that bad. Y'all heard me right. I was like, what? I got that today, and there's an article on it in Vanity Fair. Like, we got too many weirdo conservative right-wing idiots, okay? And so many of them are just totally uncomfortable with the truth of American history that they will all out lie about it. DeSantis also hates the idea of children learning that American history involves a lot of unsavory business, usually on the part of white people. This is why he has started this new initiative that involves straight up lying about the country's past, okay, to Florida school children. It is interesting how power-hungry people wish to alter history. It's usually centered around the enslavement of African and Native American, mislabeled as Negro, people, okay, and the gross mistreatment of these people for over 400 years, as well as the fact that America only became the quote-unquote greatest and wealthiest nation, end quote, due to the enslavement of such people and the free labor they provided during the same duration of time. Such wealth could have never occurred without it. There are still many white families that have wealth as a result of this enslavement. They're able to maintain their wealth and their status and their excellent credit standing. Their ancestors benefited greatly during the period of enslavement and or the acquisition of acres of free land which was stolen from Native Americans and or Moorish American people. Our history is shrouded in lies, okay, as most are unaware of their own Native or Moorish heritage, okay, which has been in America for over 50,000 years. They never teach this in school either. Instead, we're told that Native Americans were savages and that the tribes currently acknowledged are only the 5 civilized tribes recognized by the United States government. There were thousands of tribes, okay? But by enslaving the dark-skinned natives and mislabeling them as Negroes and turning them into slaves, many of the tribes were devastated and some were completely obliterated, all right? Do not forget, the majority of slaves taken from Africa were taken to Brazil in South America. Yes, they did bring some enslaved Africans here to North America, but they would not need 100 million of them from Africa if there were already millions and millions and millions of dark-skinned Native American Moors already here. So please do your research. Do your research. Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, the Diop, Dr. Renoko Rashidi, Dr. David Imhotep, Horace Butler, and many more, have spent their lives revealing these truths to us in their literature. We owe it to them to acquire this knowledge and to find ourselves in their extensive research. I will continue to stress this because as long as we are lost, we will never claim our glory as original Americans or original human beings on this planet. We've really got to step into our true selves, okay? We have to take back this nation from the enslaving thieves who wish to erase true history as well as erase us from the face of the earth. This is what's happening right now. Y'all better see it. Okay, so it's time for us to get it tight. We do not need nasty history to repeat itself. Okay, that nasty history can only repeat itself if we are not aware of it. We got to make sure something like that never happens again, and there is a serious movement of white people to bring it back. We can't have that. Our children, grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren deserve better. Okay? So please pay attention to the politics and what we're seeing right before our very eyes. And to all of my Floridians, please do your best to push back against DeSantis regarding his agenda. Yes, slavery was a horrible act and a greedy strategy inflicted upon beautiful people for generations, but it should not be left out of history classes, okay? Slavery is America's greatest original sin, but it should not be hidden or altered just to make white people feel comfortable, okay? This is all because they just want to feel comfortable and they don't want to hear how horrible they really were. Tough. Because I'm not worried about making you feel comfortable when I know that our ancestors suffered and were beyond uncomfortable for their entire lifetimes throughout slavery. So they just going to have to deal with feeling a little uncomfortable as they hear the truth. Do not deny our students the truth, even if it's ugly. Please. Okay, moving on. And thank you to everyone who's hanging in there and joining me tonight. I know I haven't been here, but like I said, I was trying to make magic happen and eke out as much summertime goodness and happiness as possible because it's short up here. So I hope you all are aware that the controversial author, Salman Rushdie, who's 75 years old, was stabbed repeatedly at a public appearance in Western New York on Friday. The man was stabbed all over his body, including his neck and his eyes. He may lose an eye. He was set to deliver a lecture at the Chautauqua Institution of the United States. Okay, it's a haven for targeted artists when 24-year-old, let me get his name right. I'll get that in a second. But anyway, there's a 24-year-old Indian man. He rushed the stage, stabbing him repeatedly. Okay, I got this from Reuters. All right? Now, Rushdie, who's Indian-born, has lived with a bounty on his head following the publication of his 1988 novel, quote, The Satanic Verses, end quote, okay, which is viewed by some Muslims as containing blasphemous pages. I happen to have this book. Anyway, this attack seems to be a little bit late because 33 years ago, Iran's then supreme leader, the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, called for him to be killed. So here we are in 2022, and you get a 24-year-old who takes it upon himself to try to kill him. I was like, what? Okay? He's been under threat since before that, okay? But taking into consideration the age of this assailant, which is 24, it's quite interesting that he would even know who Rushdie even is, okay? But there's more. The suspect in the stabbing, his name is Hadi Matar of Fairview, New Jersey. He has pleaded not guilty to charges of attempted murder and assault at a court appearance on Saturday. And this is according to his court-appointed lawyer, Nathaniel Barone. An initial law enforcement review of Matar's social media accounts showed that he was sympathetic to Shiite extremism and Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard. Okay? Authorities are blaming Iraq for this particular attack. Still really unknown who's behind this and whether Matar acted alone. Well, I just think it's interesting because when we're still dealing with Islamic extremism, to go after Salman Rushdie at this point in time, I mean, he's 75, but I'm just saying, it's very interesting how people can hold on to hatred and rhetoric. I mean, he's an author, okay? But at the same time, how many other authors do we have out here that we might not agree with? Okay, fine. But the main book, The Satanic Verses from 1988, that was a while ago. Hi, I remember I graduated college that winter. And it's 2022. The assailant was 24 years old. I'm like, well, who was feeding you this? Who was feeding him this information? I mean, Boo Boo is from Fairview, New Jersey. And yet and still, you want to carry out an agenda of Islamic extremism. Yo, watch your neighbors, family. That's very interesting to me. Watch your neighbors. All right. So much happening. I'm trying to make sure I make this work. Okay. One story that I really want to cover today is a very tender subject, because I know that we have individuals who are suffering, and I always feel bad for suffering people, but I really wanted to dig in and get as much information as I possibly could. So I was able to read several different articles from health professionals with regard to this recent monkeypox situation. I'm going to put the disclaimer out there ahead of time. I am not attacking anyone. I am not bringing this information forth to objectify anyone. I am just giving the information that I received from several physicians through several different articles. I hope you get that point, okay? So from COVID to monkeypox, I'm like, what type of madness is actually transpiring? Monkeypox is now the latest public health threat. But where the hell did this really come from? On July 6th, the CDC said there were 2,890 diagnosed cases of the virus in the United States. Public health authorities continue to state that it is largely confined to homosexual men who have sex with men. They even have an acronym, MSM. 98% of the victims were gay or bisexual men. One in three people who tested positive had visited, quote, sex on site venues, end quote, within the past month. The study found that one in five attended large gatherings, 30 persons, such as gay pride events. So I'm going to go on and give you some interesting information that I received from the Daily Signal. This particular outbreak has been fueled, suffice it to say, by gay bacchanalia. The epidemiologist and research physician at Brown University said on Monday's Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. Now, I need you to understand this because I'm giving vocabulary. Bacchanalia, B-A-C-C-H-A-N-A-L-I-A, comes from the Roman festival of Bacchus. It's a festival of drunken revelry, orgies, and lots of music and dancing and stuff like that. It also has a nocturnal version, which involves partying all through the night and engaging in the same activities. Now, first of all, I'm kind of nauseous because when I go on, you'll get my point. And no offense to anyone, but, like, you know, I'm a serious clubhead, okay? Myself, my husband, we have lots of friends, so on and so forth. However, we're heterosexual. We only went to the club to dance and have a good time, to listen to some really beautiful music, great music, really loud, and dance, sweat, and have a really good time, okay? We were not in the club for any type of bacchanalia or any other sexually deviant behaviors. We were not there. We weren't there for that. So I had to put that disclaimer out because I know I was talking about parties and stuff earlier. These are not the type of parties I'm talking about, okay? So Dr. Bostrom highlighted that the study's finding that those who contracted the virus had a median number of, get ready, 5 sex partners in the past 3 months, and 20% engaged in, quote, chem sex, which is sex under the influence of drugs. Not to cast aspersions on the gay community, Boston said, because such practices occur in a subset of the LGBTQ community. This is a typical, aggressively hypersexualized gay man, okay? For instance, wait for it. One man who identifies as gay, his name is Sebastian Kahn. He works for George Soros, okay, in the Open Society Foundation. Described the excruciating symptoms he experienced after he attended New York Pride Festival, where he, quote, had sex with several guys over the weekend, end quote. The virus looks eminently avoidable by avoiding these types of practices analyzed by Boston, okay? He's also an academic. He says, quote, I don't see that how that translates to the general population. It just doesn't, end quote. LGBTQ activists and many public health officials, including Dr. Anthony Fauci, who you know I can't stand Fauci, who's contributing to the Biden administration's response, they seek to widen the government's response, stoking fears of widespread transmission. One doctor affirmed a mother's worries that her son might get monkeypox from his Taekwondo mat. A representative from the Kaiser Foundation called on the White House to mobilize as big an effort as possible to prevent this from becoming endemic. But overall infection numbers remain low. The nation's highest infection rate is in Washington, D.C., where 0.016% of residents are infected, followed by New York State, which is 0.0045%. Very interesting. I was like, oh, okay. Give me a second. So I just think that they are trying to hype it up a little bit, but the population that is most at risk are men who have sex with men. So the article goes on to say, seeking to allay misguided fears, the left-of-center website Slate published an article titled Monkeypox Spreads Via Sex Mostly. It's okay to say that. It was later renamed Not Everyone Has to Be Equally Worried About Monkeypox. So, again, they're trying to change the narrative around it, but the evidence and the proof and the percentage is the reality of it. Okay? Eager to appease the LGBTQ activists and the Democratic Party's base, the Biden administration has announced it will distribute 30,000 doses of the JYNNEOS vaccine and obtain 150,000 by the month's end. Interesting how they've already come out with a vaccine. I just think that's interesting, but I'm not going to pull on that right now. Dr. Boston warned that the vaccination, quote, has its own toxicity profile. So for heaven's sake, if it's going to be used, it should be highly, highly targeted, meaning it should be given to the gay population who are men who have sex with men. Some nations have declined the vaccine altogether. Government authorities in New Delhi in India said Monday that they have no plans to import the medicine to India, which only has 4 confirmed cases, the most recent involving a 34-year-old man who said he had attended a stag party. Even some who want aggressive response admit monkeypox is a niche concern. In Chicago, officials are distributing the vaccine at gay bathhouses. Quote, the vaccine isn't indicated for the general public, end quote, says Massimo Pacilli, Chicago's deputy commissioner for the disease control. Chicago's deputy commissioner for disease control. Mm-hmm. There are parties, social venues, sex clubs, where we could be doing monkeypox texting. LGBTQ activist Dr. Greg Consalves told Time Magazine, he's like, we should be testing the places where the population of men having sex with men are. So far, the public discussion over combating the virus has largely revolved around treating the outbreak rather than discouraging the underlying causes. Quote, if they want to declare a national emergency, maybe they need to do away with these apps like Grindr, maybe shut down the gay bars where a lot of this activity has been centered, okay, observed Perkins. I mean, they closed the churches during COVID despite a dearth of evidence that church attendance proved an especially contagious vector of transmission. We need to educate our children that behavior has consequences, concluded Perkins. This could clearly be nipped in the bud by discouraging such practices. And I'm sorry if that somehow is offensive to people's different mores, but that's really what needs to be done, Bostrom said to Perkins. The most obvious way to stem this is to not engage in those very high-risk sexual behaviors. Now, this article was also originally published in the Washington Stand. So I think it's interesting that that's not really what they've been running with, okay? And I did see a case of a woman who had monkeypox, but she had engaged in sexual relations with a bisexual man. Now, as Sister Dawn texted me, which is real, it almost sounds like the same scenario that was put out when HIV first came on the scene, okay? It was gay men, and then it was the Haitian population. Very true. But what's interesting is that they definitely noticed a spike in monkeypox after the gay pride celebrations. Now, what gets me, and I'm not trying to get in trouble over this, but what gets me, how is it at this day and age with every venereal disease known to mankind, with herpes virus and all these other things, simplex 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, with HIV, with the whole thing that happened with AIDS, even though I'd said it before, AIDS was deliberately put in the hepatitis B vaccine that was given to a lot of people who were gay or bisexual, and that's what gave them full-blown AIDS. And you can look that up. That's real. Dr. Fauci was involved in trying to create the AIDS vaccine and the AIDS treatments of AZT, knowing that it was going to kill people. But again, we're killing undesirable people, according to them. Nonetheless, after all that, how is it that these men still find it all right to have this many sexual partners in a short amount of time? Whether you got 5 partners in 3 months, or 5 partners at one party? Yo, come on, man. I need to get into the psyche of these hypersexualized individuals. There's something wrong with that. Yes, of course, making love is a beautiful thing, okay? But in a homosexual act between two men, why are you not protecting yourself? You're putting your raw penis into someone's anus. No. What comes out of our anus? There is always fecal matter present inside of an anus. I don't care who you are, how old you are, from a baby to a 90-year-old. Please believe me when I tell you, there's fecal matter in your anus. I'm not going to go into preference, okay? People do what they do. But at the same time, wouldn't you have enough common sense to protect yourself? How are you having sex with 5 different men at one event unprotected? That is beyond careless. It's beyond foolish. I could come up with other words, but I'm not going to. But come on. This is really deep to me. Reading these articles, every time I read an article on monkeypox, it makes me itch. It just makes me itch. I'm like, ugh. Because I just cannot believe or understand that people are still so risky and just haphazardly having anal sex with multiple partners in one event unprotected. I don't know. Psychotherapy needs to happen as far as I'm concerned. And the last time I checked, being gay didn't mean that you just have sex with everybody all the time. There's something that's really wild with that for me. I'm sorry. And I know that rich, white, wealthy men, some politicians and some just wealthy, who attend the Bohemian Grove celebration in Northern California, they engage in this type of behavior as well. Many of these men have wives, but they cannot wait to go to Bohemian Grove to walk around with no pants on and just going in the bushes and having sex with other men. Some of these individuals are politicians we see on television. George Bush is a member of the Bohemian Grove situation. Many powerful, quote-unquote powerful, because to me they're not powerful, wealthy white men engage in this behavior and this level of frolicking, if you will, at this event in Bohemian Grove, even though some of the same people will come back and castigate the LGBTQ community. Many of these individuals are members of the Republican Party. So they poo-poo homosexuality and gay rights, but yet and still they engage in this homosexual behavior at Bohemian Grove. Men dress up as women at Bohemian Grove. They literally bus in transsexual men. They bust them in so they can have their way with them as well. If we just pan back a little bit and we look at lots of what I spoke about earlier in this episode, white people have some problems. Not to say that Black people do not engage in this behavior, because we know that they do. But Bohemian Grove, not so much, because they don't have the level of wealth, nor are they interested in having too many Black men there. They may have a few, like raisins in a sugar bowl, but it's not going to be a huge amount of brothers that are going to be there. They don't really qualify. But yet and still, as I'm looking at this data with regard to monkeypox and the admittance of these individuals in having sex with multiple partners in a short amount of time, I'm not only grossed out, I am... It definitely causes me to speculate, and I'm not trying to speculate. But it definitely hits me in my consciousness that people got problems. There is something wrong with you psychologically if you've got to have sex with 5 different people in a day. You got prostitutes that might even get that many Johns in one day. Sorry. Rich white men going to specific events and having multiple partners in anal sex. Lord knows, if a woman has sex with more than one man in a day, they call her a whore, right? But a man can have sex with 5 different men anally in one event And so what we're and what's bugging me out just a little bit is that monkeypox has been around for a while. But the spike in it, what's with this recent spike in it? You know what else recently caught a spike and has been found in New York and California? Polio. Now, I'm going to go there real quick. Some of y'all might get pissed at me. Sorry, but I have a lot of information and data, and I got a lot of books from certain scientists and microbiologists and individuals who have continuously stated and tried to yell from the mountaintops that the hot sauce vaccine had a lot of crap in it. And it not only had a lot of crap in it, but it lowers your immune system. Now, we as humans, we have lots of different viruses inside of us, but they are dormant. They are sleeping. They're not awake. But receiving the hot sauce has awakened certain viruses inside of the body. It has awakened what they call cytokine storms inside of the body. So people have been coming down with diseases and viruses and disorders that we haven't seen in decades. Decades. Now, I remember when the devil, Bill Gates, went into Africa and made a deal with some governments in different countries in Africa to distribute the oral polio vaccine. This vaccine gave polio to tens of thousands of children. You can research that yourself right now. If you're online, open up another page. Research Bill Gates' oral polio vaccine in Africa. Tens of thousands of children have polio as a result of this. Mind you, the vaccine wasn't even approved. He and his little wealthy friends just came up with something in a lab and distributed it to these quote-unquote poor people, poor black people in Africa. The same thing kind of happened, not polio, although some children did receive it, but the Gardasil vaccine against the HPV virus for young girls caused paralysis. I have long since stopped getting any kind of vaccine because I realized that vaccine campaigns are not necessarily for the betterment of humanity. I've talked about this before. I don't mean to burst bubbles or hurt anybody's feelings or get anybody upset. But we are not living in the type of world that you think we're living in. We're not living in this beautiful utopian society where everybody is just supposed to be fantastic. They know good and damn well they're trying to get rid of people. That's why someone smart and brilliant blew up part of the Georgia Guidestones, because the Georgia Guidestones are some Frankenstein-ish, okay? These white, wealthy individuals are on a mission to depopulate this planet. If you cannot see that, I think you're a little bit blind. No offense to you. But that is apparent. It's clear and apparent, especially now in 2022. It's so clear, it's not funny. Look at what's going on in Afghanistan right now. It's been a year since we came out of Afghanistan, and those people are dying, suffering, and just it's hell over there. All of a sudden now, young girls can't go to school past sixth grade, but they have no food. People are starving because all of the international allies that Afghanistan used to have, they no longer have since the Taliban has taken over. And you know they're in the middle of the desert, so they're not growing but so much, aside from poppy. So many people on heroin is ridiculous. If the world really cared, that would not be. But the world doesn't care because all they want is to make sure a lot of those people don't survive. If you pay attention to African politics and what's going on in Africa, you should be able to see that. As I said, Bill Gates went over there and had a ball distributing polio to everybody. Had a ball with it. Taking pictures and everything. Getting these mothers to feel guilty if they don't vaccinate their children with this oral polio vaccine. And yet and still, he gave polio to all the children. If you go back to AIDS, which I mentioned a little earlier, Dr. Fauci had a lot to do with the research that was done on AZT. They knew that if they gave AZT to a person who had HIV, they were going to die. They would more than likely die. Yet, they tried to put him on television all the time and make it seem like he cared about everybody. That man didn't give a damn about nobody. All these people care about is money. And the less people there are on the planet, the more money they'll have. That's how they see things. So in doing the research that I've done, especially over these past 2.5 years with regard to COVID, I knew something was wrong. Because most of our modern vaccines, I'm not talking about from the 60s and 70s, I'm talking about from the 80s on, have changed. I spoke about how the vaccination schedule of babies changed drastically. When we were babies in the 60s, we got shots, but they were spread out over a period of at least 3 years. Now, they shoot these babies up immediately. As soon as the mother gives birth, they're shooting the baby up, knowing that the child has not developed their full immune system to even be able to fight. There's something wrong with that. But then too many of us become sheep, and we believe the hype, and we believe everything that these people say. And I'm like, nah, man. Now as I see all these politicians and other individuals, even personal friends that I know, who received the hot sauce, testing four times positive for COVID. What did you take the hot sauce for? Meanwhile, we're good over here. I have a very wonderful friend by way of my husband who works for a very prestigious pharmaceutical company. He did not take the hot sauce. Neither did his wife. And when all this was happening, because we heard it too, people would tell them if they got invited to something, they couldn't attend unless they received the hot sauce. So the wife was like, well, what if I bring you a negative COVID test? They were like, oh, no, thank you. You can't come. Really? My husband and I heard it with some of our friends for our wedding. They were like, oh, we're afraid to come. Meanwhile, nobody got it from being at our wedding. Nobody. Everybody's still alive and kicking. Not even a sniffle. And there are a lot of us who did not take the hot sauce and who ain't about taking the hot sauce. There are a lot of us. A recent article came out, I think it came out of Australia, where the author was saying that it's the non-vaccinated, the unvaccinated, who will be the heroes of the day. He said, because we who took it have compromised our immune system. And they are feeling and experiencing regret. They're becoming sick with different diseases and things that they never thought they would have. I urge you to please not have so much faith, A, in this government, in the CDC, C in the WHO. Please. Because in actuality, they don't give a damn about you. They make more money off of you when you die. You already have trillions of dollars that are associated with your birth certificate. The number on your birth certificate is a corporation. The federal government has billions of dollars based on your corporation that they develop and they use and they trade throughout your entire lifetime. And when you die, they just cash in. This is why there is such a big move for people to obtain sovereignty and indigenousness if you can. Because your birth certificate has turned you into an individual corporation. Dr. Wimborne is an expert on this. I've met other individuals also. There's a brother, Brother Dexter, from East Orange. He's a barber by day, but oh my goodness, he's sovereign, he's indigenous, and he's found all these different ways for you to be able to capitalize on your own UCC code. It's very, very interesting. Because I know most people don't know that there are billions of dollars in a separate account under your name and your birth certificate number that the government has established you as a corporation when your parents signed your birth certificate. Even your children, and you signed your children's birth certificates. Your children are corporations of the United States. As soon as you sign that birth certificate, and it goes to the Department of Naturalization and the federal government and the Federal Reserve. Tens of thousands of dollars are generated. I want to say hundreds of thousands of dollars are generated based on that and your establishment as an individual, as a corporation. Most people have no idea that that's what that is. That's why they want you to have a birth certificate. And nobody ever thinks, well, why should I have a birth certificate? I had a child. Why do I need a certificate for the child? Why do I need to tell the federal government that this child now exists? Oh, for the census? No, honey. It's so much deeper than we think. So again, I say, no matter whether you live or you die, they will make money off of you. They will make money off of your corporation because you are a corporation, one of many within these United States of America. And they're able to buy stock, trade, do all types of things with that money, which you will probably never see the light of day. You won't ever see that money. And there are individuals right now who have found ways, once you are indigenous and sovereign, to begin to receive some of that money. Once you are able to establish that you are not a corporation, but you would like to, acquire the funds that were associated with the former corporation that you used to be. It's deep. Check out the Bureau Bullies on Instagram. Who else is doing this? I believe Derek Grace. Who else? But definitely the Bureau Bullies, because they go in on how you can get your money. And some of us might not care. Some of us would be like, whatever, it's whatever it is. But if you know that there's something inside of you that isn't comfortable with it and you want to try to get some of the money that's supposedly yours, I say go for it. They don't care about you. Even if you had a child and your child lived a year, God forbid, they were still able to financially capitalize off of that child because that child was a corporation. The money always stays with them. So those individuals that I mentioned, like Derek Grace and the Bureau of Bullies and so on and so forth, if you're really interested in being sovereign and being indigenous and finding and achieving your own independence as a human being, not a corporation, please check them out. Do your due diligence. I tell you, this government is a trip. Okay? This government is a trip. And I want y'all to be careful with, I think it's Ancestry.com. Yeah, not African Ancestry, but Ancestry.com. They are full of it. There were a few instances where people just used the DNA of an apple. Yes, I said an apple, not a human. And they sent it in to Ancestry.com. And Ancestry.com came back with a whole pathology on the genealogy of this apple. Not a human. However, AfricanAncestry.com is brilliant. They're doing it. They're doing that work, and they are awesome. They're more expensive because they are precise. Ancestry.com is a joke. So just know the difference between the two. If you are interested in chasing your lineage and your DNA and blah, 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 I would advise black folk, do not go to Ancestry.com. Spend the money and go to AfricanAncestry.com. And now white people are actually getting their pets' DNA. Like they just want to know where their pet came from. It's just too much for me. It really is. I can't. I'm like, I don't need to know Scruffy's DNA. I don't. It's a dog. It's a cat. Who cares? I don't need to know the DNA of my pet. You know I'm terrible. Some people are like, oh, my goodness. But seriously, I remember when they even came out like pet insurance and stuff like that and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you're my dog. You're my cat. I'm not getting insurance on you. I'm sorry. If you get sick, I'm sorry. If they tell me you're not going to make it, well, you're not going to make it. Sorry. I remember when my Belgian Shepherd, he had heartworms and he had like some type of heart disease, and they were like, well, if you have surgery, surgery is going to be about $8,000. And I was like, I don't have $8,000. I don't have $8,000 for a four-legged animal. I don't. No, I don't. My sister and I had to put him down before he got too sick, and I was okay with that. He's a dog. It's okay. I know some people love their pets and they're members of their family. I mean, our pet was an extension of the family. Yeah, we always had dogs in my family from before I was even born. But yet and still, baby, I would love to see the day my father spent $8,000 for a dog heart surgery. Oh, heck no. You know, some of this stuff is getting a little too out of control. It really is. Every time I see the commercials, I mean, you know, I am concerned about little dogs and cats in America. But when I see the Humane Society and all these people trying to make all this money and get all this money to try to help save all these pets and so on and so forth, I'm like, can we get money to save humans? Where's that? I see lawsuits that come out after someone's been poisoned, after someone drank toxic water at Camp Lejeune, after. Never before. Could we do that? Let's raise money for humans. And I'm not talking about GoFundMe. Like, there should be a constant flow somewhere of money that can help people who become deathly ill. A lot of people do not have health insurance. We have people that do have health insurance, but their particular ailment and what's necessary to save them isn't covered by their health insurance. What about that? And to go back a bit, why don't we just teach our children and why don't we learn to begin to eat better? Grow our own vegetables. Big shout out to Sister Dawn, who has a garden of her own and brings those tomatoes and strawberries and cucumbers and everything home to feed her family healthy. Big shout out to Chris and Barbara. They got 12 fruit trees and a whole bunch of vegetables. That's beautiful. Big shout out to the farmers market and various farmers markets throughout the country. Those vegetables are way better than the vegetables in the supermarket, believe it or not. Raise your own chickens if you want to eat poultry. Raise your own animals if you want to. But we can see that we're on the verge of a food shortage. You've got a broken supply chain, mainly due to truckers that refused to get the hot sauce shot. A lot of those truckers left those companies to not return. So if we're importing coconuts and pineapples and all these different things and they can't get to us, to even reach the shelves on our supermarkets, what you gonna do? And I've talked about prepping before. I have spoken to you all about making sure that you have, even if you got canned goods, if you learn how to can, if you learn how to put food in a mason jar so it'll stay for 10 years, how to make preserves. Like, we really got to start getting serious. And I know that some of us are just not on it at all. Some of us are partially on it. And then there's a handful of us who are really, really on it. So there's a sister down south. She's got her own farm. She grows her own fruit and vegetables and a huge marijuana crop. Amazing. It's beautifully harvested. And I'm glad that New Jersey and New York legalized marijuana. I think that's awesome. And I encourage my beautiful, wonderful Nubian gardeners out there to begin your marijuana crops. And while you're at it, grow some vegetables and fruit as well. I have friends that know how to cross-blend different types of marijuana plants. Some are more medicinal than others. But they make it happen. We really have to be a little smarter. And we need to be more aware and more conscious of what we put in our mouths and in our bodies. We really, really have to do better. And you have some amazing vegetarians on Instagram who discuss how to do it, who discuss how to make vegetarian food for themselves and for you, you know, recipes and things that taste good. I even need to get more back into that because I was some years ago. Oh, my goodness, I was going in on it. And then I kind of fell off, and then I kind of got re-addicted to beef. And I don't eat a lot of beef, but I really don't want to eat any beef. So I got to work on that within myself, trust me. I'm trying to grow, but we've got to be careful. A lot of stuff that's labeled as food is not food. I give a real good shout out to my sister Renee, because Renee became a vegetarian and whew, she went in and she went in hard. And she looks fantastic. And she doesn't have arthritis like I do. And I know she feels wonderful. So, yes, sometimes it's hard when the people around you don't eat that way and you've got to be real, real disciplined into yourself. But I'm definitely going to cut back on meat and other flesh this coming autumn and into winter. You know, I do suffer from arthritis. I don't like it. But I know that a lot of it has to do with the fats and the different parts of flesh that wind up clogging our joints. So, you know, I'm about to make moves and do some different things. But we really, I mean, I've started with my snacks. I'm very proud of myself. I used to eat all kind of snacks. Now I don't. I just eat avocado chips now as a snack. Because there's so many chemicals in these cheese noodles and all these cheesy fries and all this stuff, there's so many chemicals in it to make it taste like that. But those chemicals really do not agree with you. There was an amazing post on Instagram by this sister. I can't remember her name, but she was talking about the various forms of poop and what your poop looks like and what your poop should look like. And pay attention to it. You know what I mean? Don't just poop and flush. Like, poop, look at it, and then flush. Because if your stool is too hard and it's all pellet-like and beady, it means that you're dehydrated and you don't have enough water in your system. It may also mean that you're eating too much meat. Our poop should be medium to long and kind of snaky, honestly. If your poop is too short, then you're not getting rid of enough toxins in your body. If your poop is too loose and watery, you can become dehydrated. Like, diarrhea is dehydrating. If you have diarrhea or if you constantly have a loose stool, drink a lot of water and drink more green and leafy vegetables. Eat more vegetables. If you can juice, do it. Like, we're really off. We're not doing what we need to do because our society and the world around us has trained us to be able to eat anything under the sun. And I'm also going to say, for you McDonald's eaters, please be careful. I swear, sometimes I don't even want a cup of coffee out of McDonald's. McDonald's is the devil, and there was an article that came out about the human meat in McDonald's meat, and that the federal government was issued an indictment against McDonald's for having human meat inside of his meat. Now, that can also be why people are tripping out, because if you are cannibal, you can develop the same type of situation as mad cow disease. Mad cow disease happened when they started feeding beef, other cows, to cows. So we're not supposed to eat ourselves. Not in that way. We're not supposed to eat human flesh. And you have more outlets now where you can actually buy and cook or whatever human meat. Yo, no, no, no. No. We're not supposed to be cannibals. And you do have a lot of white people who eat human meat. And my question is, where did this meat come from? Did you have people slaughtered in order for you to get this meat? Because in order for you to get human meat, a human would have to die, yes? They got this new human meat, celebrity meat. I was like, what is going on? I have talked about the fact that our society in this day and age is becoming more and more hellacious, more and more satanic, more and more wicked. I don't say that off of the top of my head because I don't have anything to back that up. You should be able to see it clearly for yourself. They have a new program out, a new television program out, going to be called, I think, Little Demon, where his father is actually the devil. They are trying to make Satan fashionable. I have spoken about this before. There's nothing sexy about the devil. There's nothing cool about wickedness. We got human sacrifices going on. Now we're going to be coming into autumn and into winter when most of the human sacrifices actually happen. Not good. Children are sacrificed so often in this country, it is insane. Most of the quote-unquote missing children, missing girls are sacrificed. Then you got the black people who are missing and they're stealing their organs. This is a real thing. This is why we say, please be careful out there. Look after for each other. Look after one another. Touch base with somebody. Communicate. Because people are coming up missing. Never to be found. And then when you find out why, you're like, oh my God, unfortunately, yes, it's a thing. And if we don't know how to stop it, the least we could do is learn how to protect ourselves. There's a lot of mayhem going on in the world. There's a lot of wickedness and craziness happening right here in the United States. I mean, it's off the chain, people. We've got to be aware. We have to protect ourselves, and we have to look out for each other. And don't forget, try your best to vibrate at a very high level. Let love be your guide. Even when you're angry, let love take over and take that anger out of you. Let love prevail. It is not corny to be nice and to be kind and to be loving and to be gentle. It is not. That's how we're supposed to be. Unfortunately, we got other people who make being bad and being evil, being shiesty, look fashionable. It's not. Even when we have individuals like our former president, and even the president we have right now is no saint. At least he tries to cover it up. Some of these other people just let wickedness and power and all this stuff just take over, and it's insane. Dr. Wimborne, I believe I see you. I'm going to open your line. 973-640. Alamo! Are you with me?
Greetings, greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Peace, Doc. How you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I am the same. Thank you so very much. I'm fantastic.
Great, great, great. It's good to hear your voice again. Good to have a chance to come call into the show.
Yes, I know you've been so busy, you know, and I know you're making moves and everything, but it's wonderful to have you on tonight. It has been a while.
It's been a while. Well, you know I was out of the country.
Yeah, you went to Africa, right?
Yes, yes, yes. So we got back last week, I think, and it has been a whirlwind since I've been back, and we've been running around the clock. But
awesome.
Yeah, we had a great time. We got a lot accomplished. We got, you know, the opportunity to meet with those that are making decisions about our people.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the rare opportunity to have dinner and a meeting with Prince Aramaeus, the grandson of Haile Selassie, who came
Wonderful. You went to Ethiopia?
Yes, I was in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah. So
please, tell us all about it, please, please, because that's just beautiful.
Well, you know, we went there for the Federation. You know, in Ethiopia is a place called Sheshimani. And there is where the emperor left the descendants of the slaves, those that have been enslaved, land to come home to, whatever they wanted. So I was there. I had an opportunity to go to the land and look at the land grant that was left to the people, look and see what needed to be done in the development. We had our convention there, our 85th convention. We were blessed to have the mayor of Sheshimani come by and endorse the federation. We had the elders of the tribes, you know, working with us. We was able to put together something called a peace coalition where we're working on all of the issues that are in Ethiopia at this time. And, again, you know, like I said, we were, had an opportunity to meet with the Crown Council and Prince Aramaeus. And these were all very, very, very productive meetings. And we look forward to the future as to the black people of the world. Absolutely.
That is magnificent. Congratulations, Doc.
Thank you. Thank you. But glad to be back. Got work to do. So, you know, we're still trying to get it in. Still trying to multitask and mess up.
How long were you there?
3 weeks.
Wow. All right. You better go ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that your first trip to the motherland?
Say that again.
Was that your first trip to the motherland?
Yes, that was my first trip to the motherland.
Awesome.
And it was a great experience, just being around the people, enjoying the culture, enjoying the so many different types of black people in Ethiopia. It is amazing. I think the only other thing that really kind of like took me by surprise was the driving.
Okay.
In Ethiopia. I told somebody there only appears to be one rule in driving there, and that is don't hit nobody. Anything else is okay. So that took a little adjusting to because there's no traffic lights.
Wow.
And so everybody is moving in a rhythm. The cars, the people, the cows and the donkeys that happen to be walking down the road also, you know. So it was an eye-opening experience for this Brooklyn boy.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't been to Ethiopia. I've been to Nigeria, Morocco twice, South Africa, Swaziland, but I have never been to Ethiopia, and I want to go to Ethiopia.
Yeah. It's the motherland, and it's the cradle of all civilization. And
right.
Take a lot of pride in that, and so we were just happy to be there, you know, because inside of the Ethiopian World Federation, they speak of Sheshimani as the promised land, and they give it as much credibility as the promised land that's mentioned in the
Bible.
Text, the Bible, and
right.
So be to hear about it since the beginning. Back in the day when I joined the Federation about, you know, the promised land, Sheshimani, just to be able to go and to actually be there was enlightening. Yeah. And you see the work that was done, and we see the work that still needs to be done.
Right.
Yeah, to make it, you know, be all that it can be. So we're just excited. You know, I told people that, you know, we got a lot accomplished, but I take no credit. You know, all this is in the hands of God. God is doing all this. I'm just a willing instrument, a vessel to be used to allow these things to happen. And so I just try to keep myself ready and prepared for what's going on. In fact, they're trying to get me to come back before the end of the year.
Okay.
And so we'll see what happened with that. But, you know, I'm back now, and we're getting on top of the stuff that's here. So much is going on here. So much is going on there. It's challenging to keep up sometimes. I told some guys on the phone since 7 o'clock this morning. It's good to get a break, and I just wanted to call in and to dine for a little while, if you don't mind.
No, that's right. I'm really, really proud of the work that you are doing. Ever since you became president of the Federation over here, I'm just really excited for everything that's going on and the fact that you were actually able to go and to be there and to go to Sashimani and to experience the culture, meet all those wonderful people. I know Ethiopia herself is, like, so diverse. You know, there are many different cultures there, you know, because a lot of them, you know, after it was invaded, a lot of those people stayed. But, you know, the actual Ethiopians, the Haile Selassie legacy and his family members, you know, the fact that you're able to meet them and build with them, that's just a blessing. That is such a joy. I just love hearing that.
Listen, we went to the palace where he lived and had his office, and they turned it into a museum.
Mm.
So they and the Federation has a display in the museum.
Wow.
Into his office, and the curators and them moved the rope so I could sit at his desk.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Yes,
that's brilliant. Did you take pictures? Please tell me you took pictures.
Yes, of course we took pictures. I mean, sitting at the and so that was fun. That was enjoyable.
That's just that sounds like a dream come true. I just, you know, I mean, for me, every time I've ever gone to Africa has been an eye-opening and heartwarming experience for me. But for you, with regard to the Ethiopian World Federation, and I want the family to understand and overstand that Dr. Winborn is the president of the Ethiopian World Federation right now, and that he is doing phenomenal things on behalf of all of us around the globe. And that you are in contact with other, they're not lodges, what are they called? Like the other organizations around the world and the country? What are they called again, Doc?
The other, the organizations? Oh, you're talking about the locals?
Yes, the locals, thank you.
Our locals around the world, yes. The locals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know that, like, you're in contact with the locals from Paris, Germany,
right,
of course,
right.
Africa, all throughout Europe, all throughout the United States. And I would like to encourage my listeners to be aware of the Ethiopian World Federation, and perhaps their interest will be piqued to be able to join the Ethiopian World Federation. Because, again, family, you know, we try to make moves. We want to do things. Sometimes I feel like we're too isolated and we are afraid to join other organizations that are making world progress. Like the Ethiopian World Federation is making world progress. Like we are united under that. And it's something that I really feel more of us need to join. It does not cost a fortune to join. Like, can you tell them again when the show is? Are you guys still doing the shows on Sunday with Sadie Gomez, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's right here on the My Project Neo Network, y'all. Like, if you want to be a part of something significant and profound, and it's not fly-by-night, and it's not brand new, like, the Federation has been in existence for many, many, many years.
85 years.
Okay, that might be, it's to me it sounds like longer than the Panthers. It sounds like it's longer than other organizations that they've wanted us to be a part of. It's probably even longer than the Nation of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can do things when we're together. Our power is great when we are together. And by joining and being a part of the Ethiopian World Federation, of which I am very pleased to have been a guest on Ms. Gomez's show several times, and I'm always open whenever they call me, it's an opportunity for us to be able to make moves as a unit together. And it's very important for us to do that.
Right.
So again, I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy that you were able to be in Ethiopia for that amount of time. It wasn't just a weekend. It wasn't even a week. It was 3 weeks. And I know you made moves over there, I'm sure. Did you get to go to Addis Ababa?
Yes. I was we spent the first 3 days in Addis Ababa. And then we went from Addis to Sesshomani. We met with the mayor, we met with the Jamaican consulate, we met with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, we mm-hmm. met with the government for the Oroma people, with the indigenous people that's on the land and around the mm-hmm. land grant. And then, you know, to top it all off, we had the meeting with the emperor's grandson. And
fantastic.
So we were there for a minute. In fact, we met with the prince in Addis. We was in Addis when we met.
Beautiful.
Prince, and we was in Addis when we met with the government, the elders of the Oromo people. So yeah, and it was in Addis where I first was made aware of the rules of engagement when it comes to driving. But you know, Addis, the capital, is so alive.
Mm.
But it's so alive. It's got so much energy. So many people just moving about. And going. And a lot of the areas in Addis Ababa, I felt kind of like at home, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a very good experience.
I love it. I remember when I was on tour in Colorado one time with Les Nubians, and I met this brother who was from Ethiopia. And he gave me an Ethiopian scarf and a piece of Ethiopian opal.
Mm.
And I still have them to this day. And, you know, I love the scarf. But the fact that I had just met him and his friends that night, and they brought us gifts. And the opal, the Ethiopian opal, it looks like a piece of chocolate, the outside of it. But the inside of it has the red, the gold, and the green.
Right.
And I was just floored by that, and I still have that piece. It's amazing, and the people they were so generous and so beautiful, and they give tours going to Ethiopia from Colorado.
Really?
And it's just wonderful. So I can just, and I was just meeting them here in America, so I can imagine being amongst the people in Addis, like, because
right.
I know Addis is a huge city.
Right.
You know, just doesn't have a lot of traffic lights, like you said, but, you know, it's thriving, it's bustling.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
well,
I just
you know
think
what?
That
listen, I don't want anybody from Addis Ababa to get upset with me. There are some places where there are traffic lights in Addis Ababa, but a lot of places there aren't. And
right.
Everybody know how the driving is. Really, you could in the middle of wherever you're going, you can stop, you can back up, you can make a U-turn, go in circles, you can do whatever you want.
Just uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
That was, and in fact, the prince and I got a good laugh at that because he had experienced the same thing. So, yeah, that was a good chuckle for us.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, many places outside of the United States are not that well governed when it comes to traffic.
Right.
Like, that's for sure. That is for sure. I mean, even in Morocco, I'm on the road with cars, buses, camels. I'm like, okay, all right. You know, donkeys.
Right.
I'm like, okay, all right. You know, and
right there,
where are the stoplights?
Listen, I promise you, in the midst of all of that, I saw these two cows standing on a corner waiting for a break in the traffic so they could cross.
See, they knew. They knew what to do.
They know. So that's what I'm saying. Everything seems to be in a rhythm as opposed to, you know, traffic lights. Stop here and go there. No, it seems like everything, all the people, the cars, the animals, the buses, everything is in a rhythm. And just keeps going. And no one is amazed by it. No one was amazed by it but me. So, you
know. It's all good. It's all good. You were a visitor, even though you were home. I know you were like, ooh, all right.
Right.
I think that's so wonderful. Welcome home again. You know, welcome back. Not home, but welcome back.
Thank you.
Oh, and prayerfully, you'll be able to make it back before the end of the year, you know, if that's the plan.
Yeah, well, you know, let's see how it works out. We got a lot of work to do, but we got a lot of work over here. You know, we've been looking at a building for the headquarters, and so we're trying to get that on, you know, locked down. I've been on the phone all day with that. So there's a lot going on. So I am looking forward to going back. I'm looking forward to being with the people because, as you said, we have locals all around the world. We have two of them in Ethiopia. We do have we have one in Sesshomani, and we have one in Addis Ababa. So there's, you know, like I said, there's still a lot of work to do there, but there's a lot of work to do here also.
Oh, yeah, indeed. You know, and we also have to continue to spread the word that it exists.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people who know anything about the World Federation, they don't know anything about it. And I'm just like, you don't know anything about it at all? I mean, I remember hearing about it even when I was a young girl, but there are a lot of us still that just don't know anything about it. So, you know, I will continue to work with you on that. Because I know you and I have had conversations about me starting a local here where I am. And
right.
I'm just waiting to enough people that would be interested in it so we could do it.
Right.
Because that would be the bomb.
Indeed. So we're looking forward to that. In time, it'll come.
Indeed. I know it will. And we're, you know, hubby and I are making beautiful friends up here. You know what I'm saying? For people who don't come from here, you know, and now we live here, we've been able to form beautiful alliances with different like-minded individuals. And so I'm very pleased at that, you know. So I would like to continue, of course, and then begin the motions to start our own local.
Cool.
Sounds like a plan. Phenomenal. You know, I'll be calling you on that.
I hope so.
Oh, for sure. I have to. I got you the president. I got to call the president. And the fact that I know the president, okay, there it is.
Sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Exactly. You know, so I know it's 9:05, but I really thank you for coming on tonight and sharing this information with the family. I'm so happy that, again, you were able to go to Ethiopia and to be in Africa for such a nice period of time. I always tell anyone, once you go to Africa, you never come back the same. It's just different. You know, when you come home, you have a different perspective. And I'm just completely excited that you were able to have that experience.
Thank you very much. I am too. And, you know, let's keep it going.
Yes, indeed. Most definitely. You know, so I'm about to bid the family adieu because we're about 5 minutes over, but it was a good over. And, you know, prayerfully, I will be on next Monday. You and I will parlay, But and I know the Reverend is busy. I know he's doing, he's making his magic as well, you know. So we send love to him, and you know, everybody, just thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I hope that you were able to receive some knowledge and some information, even if it was a breadcrumb and it was something that led you to do some research or to look more into something. You know, again, I say we must stick together. We've got to watch out for each other. We have to protect each other and love each other and make sure that we are the embodiment of love as we move and do in the world. You know, as wild and crazy as the world may be, we don't have to be wild and crazy with it. We can choose not to do that. And, you know, let's just continue to move forward so we can have better tomorrows for our future generations as well. Of course, it's my honor and my pleasure and privilege to bring forth this information. I do not take it lightly. When I do my research, I really go in, and I want to make sure that I'm giving you as much fact as I can. You know, I don't get a check for this, but I know God is watching, and I just want to make sure we're free and we're empowered and we know how to make the right decisions in our lives. So I thank everyone for participating tonight. Thank you, Sister Dawn. I still see you there. Of course, thank you, Doc, for coming on and letting us know about your amazing trip to Ethiopia. I am so excited, and I look forward to all of the wonderful things that the Ethiopian World Federation will do. You know, I give thanks. I really give thanks. I always plug my wonderful husband in music, of course, with his SoundCloud account, which is DJ Pitch Control. Please, if you want beautiful music, it's free. Just go on SoundCloud.com and type in DJ Pitch Control, and you will see this wonderful mixer and his beautiful hand. He's got over 100 tracks on there, so please, 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 100 mixes, I should say. Just, you know, just do it. Enjoy yourself, okay? Whether you're at the gym or you're cleaning your house or you're driving, you know, just get into some really good feel-good music, okay? Because it's important for you to feel good, family. I know house music has been able to heal people from depression and other illnesses. So whether you're feeling down or whether you're ill or whether you just want to hear something good, please check it out. Again, we will be on Atlantic City Beach on August 27th at New Jersey Avenue. And yes, indeed, Sister Dawn, knowledge is power. I give thanks for you too, Dawn. Thank you, sweetheart. And again, family, live your best life. Be good. And please watch out for the elderly people. Protect the babies. And let's watch out for each other and be one. All right? Thank you so, so much. Trying to find something to take us out of here tonight. Give me a second. Okay. All right, I found it. So I hope you enjoy the music that I played at the top of the show. That is one of my songs that I wrote and vocally produced and performed. And the song that you're getting ready to hear right now is called Breathe. I also wrote that and vocally produced that. And that mix is done by Working Underneath, Glenn Underground in Chicago. And the first mix was done by Lou Garbea and Chris Perez of Ludacris Productions. Thank you so much, everybody. Enjoy your week, okay? Be good out there. Don't forget to eat right also, okay? Leave McDonald's alone. All right, be good, family. Much love and light. Peace.